from City of Leeds divers Jack Law and Chris Mears will have all the details on who you need to watch tonight. Plus, can Yorkshire reach the semi-final stage of the T20 Blast? We'll be live in Cardiff with Dave Callahan in the next few minutes.
On radio,
online,
and on your mobile. Your station for Yorkshire. Yorkshire.
BBC Radio Leeds.
6 o'clock then, let's get the latest news headlines. Here's Charles Engwell.
Good evening. Leeds Civic Hall and Leeds First Direct Arena will turn gold tonight in honour of two Leeds divers who won gold at the Rio Olympics. Jack Law and Chris Mears have made history winning Britain's first ever Olympic diving title. Adam Smallwood is the head coach at the John Charles Centre for Sport in Leeds, where Jack and Chris train, and he couldn't quite believe it.
We were expecting a medal. Whilst watching a competition, though, you're going through it and you begin to believe a little bit it could be gold. It might actually happen, and then obviously it happens. And then ever since then, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. I mean, I went into work this morning to do a bit of coaching, and the atmosphere in there, everyone is buzzing. It's incredible.
On Monday, Jack will be going for gold again when he takes part in the individual 3-metre springboard. His girlfriend, Jess, says she's keeping her fingers crossed.
He's not really mentioned much about it. He's just trying to keep cool, calm and collected. I think that's what he's done throughout this week leading up to this. So I think he's just going to do the same again. He's already got his gold, so he's just going to sort of see how it happens.
Meanwhile, Catherine Granger has become Britain's most successful female Olympian with a silver medal in the double sculls. She and Victoria Thornley, who narrowly finished behind Poland, had initially missed out on selection for Rio. Granger, who's 40, won medals at the last four Olympics, including gold in the same event in London. A man has been jailed for 8 months for threatening to stab the pilot during a flight to Malaga in Spain. Bristol Crown Court heard that Martin Johnson, who's 56 and from Essex, drank a bottle of duty-free wine before boarding and opened another while on board. Last week, Leeds-based airline Jet2 announced it's banning alcohol on all its flights before 8 o'clock in the morning. The child protection expert, Professor Alexis Jay, will lead the independent inquiry into historical child abuse in England and Wales. She replaces Dame Lowell Goddard, who became the third chairwoman to resign last week. Peter Saunders from the National Association for People Abused in Childhood praised the Home Secretary for appointing someone so experienced.
She headed up an extremely effective Rotherham campaign, and she has more than 30 years of experience of working in this world. So I think she's an excellent appointment. Everybody involved in the inquiry will get behind Alexis J as she takes the reins. And we need to put the past behind us and to move on with this inquiry, because there's some very, very important work that needs to continue.
A cyclist who died yesterday in the Lake District has been identified as 59-year-old Dr. Simon Newell from Leeds. It's believed that he fell off his bike on the Newlands Pass, but police are continuing to investigate a collision. His family say he'd been going to the area to enjoy the mountains for over 30 years and planned to retire there with his wife. MPs say Muslim women face greater employment inequalities than any other group in British society. The Commons Women and Equalities Committee says some face discrimination when applying for jobs because of clothing they wear for religious or cultural reasons. The executive director of the Muslim Women's Network, Faiza Vaidi, says it's a big problem.
What's happening when a Muslim woman is applying using a CV and she's got a Muslim-sounding name, and then when she goes into an interview with a headscarf on, and then basically when she's applying for promotional opportunities, and at each of those levels we've seen there's discrimination within the workplace, and that's really concerning for me.
The United Nations says it wants to talk to Russia about a workable ceasefire in the Syrian city of Aleppo, saying the 3-hour daily pauses are not enough to ensure that aid gets through. Fierce fighting resumed as this morning's truce came to an end. There were reports that gas thought to be chlorine was dropped alongside barrel bombs on one neighbourhood. And 8 people who'd been paralysed for years are said to have recovered some movement and sensation during a medical trial in Brazil. The Walk Again project used a virtual reality system connected to the patient's brains, which controlled robotic devices on their legs. For the latest updates then, go to bbc.co.uk/Leeds or follow us on Twitter at BBC Leeds.
West Yorkshire weather.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Thanks, Charles. Let's get the latest weather. Here's Keely Donovan.
A breezy and mostly dry end to the afternoon, although there could be a little drizzle for the hills, and very similar conditions overnight, with the best of the breaks in the cloud away from the hills. It could always be a little bit cloudier with some patchy rain or drizzle for the Pennines. Temperatures overnight dropping back to around 15 or 16 degrees. The breeze will continue to freshen. In fact, it'll become quite gusty by tomorrow morning. So tomorrow, blustery winds through the morning, quite gusty over the hills. And we're looking at dry, bright conditions with some spells of sunshine. Temperatures getting up to around 19 or 20 degrees.
West Yorkshire Sport Daily.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Hello, welcome along to Thursday's Sports Show. I'm Catherine Hannah, here with you through till 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up on tonight's programme, well, I've got a roundup on all the Olympic action after City of Leeds divers Jack Law and Chris Mears brought home the gold for Great Britain last night.
It is gold for Great Britain! Gold for Chris Mears! Gold for Jack Law! Great Britain have done it!
Absolutely amazing. We'll reflect on that and also look ahead to who you should be watching out for on tonight's Olympic roundup. Can Yorkshire reach the semi-finals of the T20 Blast competition away against Glamorgan? We'll be live to Cardiff shortly, and our man Dave Callaghan. Stay with us to hear all the latest Leeds United news tonight. Head coach Gary Monk speaking to the press this morning after last night's penalty drama in the League Cup.
He's taken a mighty run up here. Leans back.
Yeah! Rock Green to the rescue! The Blue of Leeds run into the penalty area and Leeds are through to the second round.
Lots of you giving your views as well on the news this afternoon that Jordan Bataka's gone on a season-long loan to Charlton, so I'll read out a few of those too. Very mixed response to that. Also hear from Bradford City defender Nathaniel Knight-Percival. He's been talking to us today about the prospect of facing his old club Peterborough. Happy memories?
Not so much the first season, because we got relegated, but playing in the Championship was great, and then getting to the JPT final and winning at Wembley, that's obviously a big thing, you know.
So more from him coming up too. Here, Wakefield Trinity coach Chris Chester on signing Keegan Hurst. And we go dragon boating tonight with Tracy Dickinson from the Bradford Barracuda. She works at Bradford City as well. So more on that story before seven. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, please do. If you'd like to text, it's 81333. Start your text message with WYS. Or you can tweet me at WYS Daily.
West Yorkshire Sport.
BBC Radio Leeds.
So we'll be off to Cardiff in just a second to talk to Dave Callaghan. He'll be providing full commentary of Yorkshire away at Glamorgan in the quarterfinal of the T20 competition. Let me update you first of all with the rest of the sport headlines. Leeds United have a new right back today. It's former Bristol City player Luke Ayling, who's joined on a 3-year deal. And Jordan Bataka has joined on loan Charlton Athletic for the rest of the season. Bradford City will be without Nathan Clark for a couple of weeks. He remains out with a calf strain. Josh Cullen is in line to start though against Peterborough on Saturday. At the Olympics today, Catherine Granger's become the most decorated female British Olympian after winning silver in the women's double sculls with partner Vicky Thornley. Elsewhere, England's cricketers recovered after a difficult start in the fourth and final test against Pakistan at the Oval, thanks in part to Yorkshire's Johnny Bairstow.
Pushed away by Bairstow for a single into the gap between backward point and cover. And Bairstow gets a half century. He was caught off a no ball earlier. He's just continuing this very good run of form he's had this year. 170 for five. And he's got there from 73 balls. Goodness me, England need him today. They really do.
Bairstow ultimately going for 55. England currently 323 for nine on day one of the fourth and final test. Wakefield Trinity have today announced the signing of Batley captain Keegan Hurst for next season. The 28-year-old prop also has the option of a further year. Other rugby league news for you today as well. Castleford Tigers chairman Ian Fulton's issued a statement tonight to quash persistent transfer rumours regarding winger Denny Solomona. Fulton says that Solomona's not been sold and has two more years at the club, beyond which they're hoping to keep him for even longer. And finally, Leeds Rhinos coach Brian McDermott says Stevie Ward's unlikely to make his injury comeback at home to Hull KR tomorrow. Ward's not featured since suffering a serious knee injury last September. That's you right up to date.
West Yorkshire Sport.
Catherine Hannah.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Busy old day today, so lots to cover between now and 7 o'clock, so stay with us on West Yorkshire Sport BBC Radio Leeds. Now, Yorkshire will be hoping to complete something of what seems to be a northern takeover in the T20 Blast. They'd like to make the finals day, but in order to get there, they need to beat Glamorgan in Cardiff tonight at the quarterfinals stage. Dave Callahan will be describing all the action for you. You'll be able to hear that online, so I'll give you all the details in a second, but let's head down to Cardiff and catch up with Callie. Firstly, the weather, Callie, is it looking like we'll get the play away at 7 o'clock tonight?
Yes, it does, Catherine. It's looking very decent indeed, I'm glad to say. It's quite warm, it is cloudy, but the forecast is good. Both sides are warming out there. Glamorgan at the moment checking on their football skills, as they often do, and Yorkshire practicing their fielding skills. It should be a very interesting game, and as you rightly said, a great opportunity to go all four teams from the north and group after Durham, Northants and Notts are all qualified earlier in the week.
A northern takeover sounds excellent. However, how tough a prospect are Glamorgan tonight?
Well, this will be like their cup final. They haven't had the best of times in County Championship Division 2, but in the one dayers, they're a very useful outfit indeed. Even though we've got these three northern sides through, in qualification, Catherine, there's no doubt that the southern group had more points at the top with their teams than they did with the northern group. And Glamorgan finished second and did extremely well in this competition. And I wonder whether an old boy might come back to haunt Yorkshire. That being, of course, Jack Rudolph, who is an outstanding batsman, the South African former Test player. He's now captain of Glamorgan, and he'll want to do well against Yorkshire. And I can exclusively reveal, although the teams haven't been named as yet, that 20-year-old Matthew Waite will play for Yorkshire. He's an all-rounder. He's been given the berth left by Travis Head, who's now departed. And it'll be a big game for the 24-year-old, who was born on Christmas Eve, and he'll be wondering whether his Christmas has come early this time round.
Always great puns from you, Callie. Thank you for that. Where do you think Yorkshire might have the edge tonight? They've been on fantastic form of late, given what a terrible start they had in this competition.
Well, it's a remarkable recovery. You're absolutely right. I do think, in many ways, the area where they might be at their best would be the spin department. Adil Rashid is here. He's able to play now, not required for England. And also, of course, Azim Rafiq has made a big difference since he's come back into the T20 side. They can use Adam Live as a third spinner. I think it's the bowling that might prove to be very important for Yorkshire tonight.
For the time being, Callie, then, thank you very much. Play getting underway at 7 o'clock this evening. You will have full commentary online for you, bbc.co.uk/radioleeds. If you scroll down from there to the bottom of the page, find where it says commentaries, click on that and then just follow it through and it will take you right through to find Dave Callahan. Make sure you get the right commentaries as well, because I think some of our other stations are going to be covering those games tonight, but make sure you get the Radio Leeds commentary, bbc.co.uk/radioleeds from 7 o'clock tonight. Football coming up with Leeds United and Bradford City after quarter past. They've both been holding their media days today, press conferences ahead of the weekend's games. Huddersfield Town doing theirs tomorrow, so you'll be able to hear a lot more from the Huddersfield Town camp from tomorrow afternoon. Let's catch up first then with some more Super League news today. Keegan Hurst has joined Wakefield Trinity for the 2017 season. It's been confirmed today. The 28-year-old signed a one-year deal with the option of a further year. Coach Chris Chester says the 28-year-old deserves a shot at Super League and more new faces might be imminent too.
He's a big lad, isn't he? Yeah, he's a player that's been very good at Batley, playing consistent footy at Batley, and we just felt he deserves an opportunity in Super League, and we're expecting a lot from Keegan next year. he wants an opportunity. We've given him an opportunity, and it's up to Keegan now to put his front foot forward and have a real crack at Super League.
Are you surprised nobody's taken him before now, or has it been that he hasn't really wanted to come? I mean, that might be a factor, I suppose.
I'm not sure. I think this last season has probably been his most consistent. He's played in a number of years, and he wants an opportunity, tests himself against the best in the competition, and it's a great opportunity for him, for and a great opportunity for us to see what Keegan Hurst is all about, and I'm looking forward to working with him. He's certainly a big lad. He carries the ball very strong, and defensively is strong as well. So it's a good fit for us.
It's a funny old game, isn't it? When you have to start recruiting so much ahead of the season that hasn't even finished yet.
It's a good position to be in this year. Whereas last year I don't think we had anybody signed up for this season, just because of the uncertainty around the £1 million game. So recruitment's been quite easy. We've got quite a few players in the pipeline that we want to that we're very close to. We hope to announce very shortly. It's just a player that'll add some depth to the squad.
Wakefield Trinity coach Chris Chester talking about the signing of Keegan Hurst today. On the move, Hurst has said, "I'm happy to have signed for Wakefield, a club with a lot of history, and they've made big strides this season. I already have a great relationship with John Keir, so it'll be nice that we can continue that, and I'm looking forward to playing under Chris Chester." So a new addition for them today. Chris Chester talking to our man Dave Fletcher a little bit earlier on. 6:15 on BBC Radio Leeds.
West Yorkshire Travel.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Leeds United and Bradford City updates coming next. Before that, though, let's get a travel update with Nick Arkell.
Hello again. Still queuing on East Parade, heading east. One lane closed by an accident. It's been there a while now. The Head Road Junction, also busy on surrounding routes. And looking at the rest of West Yorkshire, Eden area, Apley Lane is still queuing. It's heading away from the peak time, of course, but traffic's still really busy through those roadworks near the train station. Oxford Road and Gomersall still closed by that burst of water main. It's looking slow coming out of Leeds on Kirkstall Road. Headingley Lane looking pretty busy heading out as well. But the M621 looking fine. The motorway's generally on the move from what I can see here. The M62's clear east and west. And there's more in about 15 minutes from now.
Share your travel news.
Call 0330 123 0182.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. I'm Catherine Hannah. This is West Yorkshire Sport for Thursday evening. An update on the cricket then. Day one of the fourth test, England against Pakistan at the Oval. England all out then for 328. The standout performances, you have to say. Yorkshire's Johnny Bairstow out for 55, so he made another half century. And just gone, Moeen Ali, a century for him. 108 he finally went for, so excellent for him today. Joe Root out for 26. Not super good for Yorkshire's Gary Balance today. He went for 8 today. So England setting Pakistan in their first innings, 328. See what they've got in response. We're going to look at football for the next 15 minutes or so. Leeds United today confirming the signing of 24-year-old right-back Luke Ayling this afternoon. It's a 3-year deal from Bristol City. Meanwhile, winger Jordan Bataka has gone the other way. He's headed out on a season-long loan to League One side Charlton Athletic. Charlton manager Russell Slade today saying Jordan, a strong boy, really pacey, quick. He's very impressive in one-on-one situations, likes to take players on. Still young at 23 and still learning about the game over here. So that's what Charlton have had to say in bringing in Jordan Pataka on loan. You've been having your say as well by tweeting us at WYS Daily, moaning on together on Twitter. So it could come back a different player if he helps them come up, a bit like Taylor at Fleetwood. Yeah, you would like to think it is a season-long loan, so he might benefit from that experience and come back to Leeds United more ready to play. Sean says it's a shame. I thought the kid had something. First game I saw him was Brighton at home and he was running riot. John Howe on Twitter definitely has something. It's a case of how you channel that into something productive. A loan might sort that out. To which Sean is saying, yeah, fingers crossed. Brighton had to resort to two men on him at one stage. I thought we'd hit the jackpot, but alas, no again. So that's just a few of your thoughts on Jordan Bataka going out on a season-long loan. We did actually speak to Leeds United head coach Gary Monk this morning, but it was 10 o'clock in the morning, so before Ayling arrived or Bataka left, and he doesn't like to be drawn on any transfer business until it's actually done. Hence, nothing forthcoming at 10 o'clock this morning. However, he did fill us in, Gary Monk, on the latest injury news. And of course, he was reflecting on last night's penalty drama at Fleetwood.
Leeds lead. 5-4 as it stands. It's been a perfect penalty shootout from both sides. The 10th is from Johnson. And he's taken a mighty run up here. Leans back.
Yeah! Get Rob Green!
Rob Green to the rescue! The Blue of Leeds run into the penalty area and Leeds are through to the second round.
Well, Pablo Hernandez made an immediate impression last night with some lovely touches. He scored from the spot as well. Monk says he's going to be a valuable addition.
Looking for Hernandez, who takes it, edge of the penalty. Great touch, Hernandez again. Shoots low! Oh, just wide, good save. Good save from Chris Neil Lowe to his right. We all thought it had bounced in, haven't we?
Bringing Pablo to the club brings great quality. I said before, you know, the young players have potential to have a real quality way to them. It's important that we brought experience in with those young players to show the way and to show that bravery with the ball and the way that we want to play and the way that the ideas that we're trying to put into the group. Pablo's an example of someone that can do that at a very high level. So those young players would take great confidence. I think last night as well, you saw the effect he had on them. I think they started to see the way he was and what we're trying to do. And I think they started to go that way, you know, and I think they enjoyed it. I think they all enjoyed it, the young players and all of them. I think they showed that playing with someone like Pablo can help them and try and inspire them to perform and be brave with the ball. That's what we want from those young players.
We saw a bit of Alex Mowat playing alongside Hernandez last night. Is he somebody particularly that might benefit from Pablo's experience?
For sure, you know, of course. They all will, all of them, not just the ones that play similar positions or similar types of players. I think I talked a lot to these players that we have to be brave this season if we want to play the football that we want. You have to encourage them to be brave with it and confident, even when there's difficult moments and misplaced passes. You have to give them the confidence to go again. And you can see with Pablo, he has no fear of doing that. You know, there's no fear of making a mistake and not doing what he believes in and what we believe in. So those young players would have saw that last night and they would have took confidence. And they did. You could see it in their performances. They took confidence from playing alongside Pablo in those situations. So that's good for the group and we want that to continue and improve throughout the season.
Another big opportunity last night for Vieira and Calvin Phillips as well in that important holding midfield role. Did they give you any reason not to go with them again at the weekend?
No, I thought they all did well. The whole team did well last night and it was really good to see them come through adversity, especially with the start. We actually played the whole game very, very well. You know, I think probably needed a bit more of a higher tempo than we did in that first half, but again in the first half I thought we actually did very well. So we were a bit unfortunate to go behind again. That's something for us to work on, those individual errors which we have to cut out. We can't keep giving ourselves an uphill battle, but I'm sure that'll be fine. You know, they won't always be that way, but I think the whole game we played very well in, and the second half especially from that moment onwards, we were the best team. We were really trying to get the equaliser. We were unlucky. We had a number of chances that should have gone in, but in the end we got the deserved goals and we got the deserved win.
Team news then, looking ahead to Saturday, we've touched on this already. Liam Cooper came off after 45 minutes. You've said that was always your intention, so how is he?
Yeah, fine, no problems. That was always the plan, to give Coops 45 minutes. He's missed all of pre-season apart from the first week, so he's only been back a week or so into trainings, and we haven't been able to train too hard because of all the games. So no, it's part of his build-up. 45 minutes would have done him good last night, and that was always going to be the plan.
And then any other injuries picked up last night, or is everybody else okay?
No, unless something comes walking through the door this morning, but no, we were, touch wood, everyone came through it. There'd be some tired legs. It's important now that we get a good recovery. We have a very short turnaround for the next game, so we have to be ready for that game on Saturday, so we get a good recovery today and obviously work tomorrow and then ready for the game on Saturday.
And hopefully more information on Berardi's injury today. Initially, what do you think's the matter?
Well, it's a hamstring injury, but we don't know the extent, so we're just waiting for the reports back. It was obviously, we had a game yesterday, so it was very difficult to get the information. So we're expecting that information today to see what type of length or how serious the injury is.
I know you don't like to be drawn on new faces, so I'll not ask you specifically about targets, but at this stage, as the clock's ticking towards Saturday, if anybody is to sign between, well, now and Saturday morning, would that be too soon in your view for them to start on Saturday afternoon?
Well, look, you judge each game on its merit and you judge each player on their merit and you assess players constantly. Sometimes players will be injured up right up to the last minute or need a recovery right up to the last minute and then they play, so it's no problem. Those situations are very common, so I always judge the players right up to the last minute, and I give the best opportunity for them to be available and play, and it'll be the case throughout the season on every single game. So whatever the situations are, is you assess it on the merit that it is.
And hopefully any new faces not too far away now.
No, look, it's important that we strengthen the squad. It's a long season. We have a lot of games. We need to add strength. The club know that. I'm sure the club are working very hard behind the scenes to try and make a few things happen. And if we can do that as soon as possible, then of course we'd be very happy with that. But you know, we're focusing on preparing for the game at the weekend. And whatever those situations will be, I'm sure you'll see in the coming days.
Leeds United head coach Gary Monk talking to me at 10 o'clock this morning, keeping his cards close to his chest. You'll be able to hear full commentary of Leeds United against Birmingham City this Saturday. West Yorkshire Sport dedicated Leeds United show on 92.4 FM. And make sure you don't miss the Noel Whelan show. He'll be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock, building up to all the weekend's action.
West Yorkshire Sport, BBC Radio Leeds.
The football season's back in full swing with all three of West Yorkshire's league teams in action this weekend. Gary Monk takes charge of his first league game at Elland Road as Leeds United host Birmingham City, fresh from penalty drama in the League Cup.
Rock Lee to the rescue! The Blue of Leeds run into the penalty area and Leeds are through to the second round.
Hear Leeds United against Birmingham City on 92.4 FM.
West Yorkshire Sport.
Huddersfield Town have a mouth-watering trip to St James's Park to face Newcastle. The Magpies' hot favourites for promotion straight back to the Premier League, but you wouldn't bet against David Wagner's side after they dispatched Brentford.
Here's Casey Palmer. Palmer scores for Huddersfield Town.
Hear Town away at Newcastle on DAB Digital Radio. Bradford City are on the road at Peterborough, looking for their first win this season under Stuart McCall, having come within a whisker against Port Vale.
6 yards out here, can they put the ball back in? It's Lupi on the keeper, hits the bar.
Hear City at Peterborough on 7.74 AM. That's a West Yorkshire Sport triple bill this Saturday from 2.
BBC Radio Leeds.
And we're going to stick with Bradford City because we've been talking to defendant Nathaniel Knight-Percival today. He comes up against his old club when they go to Peterborough on Saturday. City have been struggling to get the ball over the line, but with plenty of chances created and no goals conceded, Knight-Percival says they're confident those goals will come.
Obviously, you know, not conceding goals is primarily what, you know, you want to be doing as a defender, but, you know, even I've been guilty of missing chances in the last two games as well.
The corner's floated in towards that far post and Anik punches it away. Marshall, right side of the area, can he pull the ball back? He can. Knight-Percival, clean off the line!
So it's just a case of just, you know, getting a goal and, you know, I'm sure once we do that we'll be fine, yeah.
Is there any sense of panic or is it too early to use that sort of word?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Obviously, you know, we've kept two clean sheets. We haven't conceded any goals. That's just going to come, isn't it, over time? So we're not worried at all.
And what's Stuart saying about the way you're playing at the moment? Is he happy?
Yeah. I think he seems happy. He's told us he's happy with how we're playing. You know, it's been quite expansive and passed it around a lot and, you know, played some good football. So you know, we're happy with how we played and I think the gaffer is as well.
Being an ex-Peterborough guy yourself, what do you make of them at the moment? They're looking at Bradford as one of the favourites. That's what they're saying ahead of this game to a promotion. Is that mind games, or are they just as able to compete with you this season?
It's, you know, in this league, it is sort of a anyone can beat anyone kind of thing. It's, you know, well, you know, whatever they say, it's not really relevant to what we're going to do on Saturday. So it is, you know, it is sort of a bit of a probably mind games kind of thing when you think about it, but you'd think they'd be up there and able to compete as well this season as well. So,
what memories do you have of them? Are they fun ones?
Not so much the first season because we got relegated, but you know, playing in the Championship was great, and then the second season playing in the, you know, getting to the JPT final and winning at Wembley, that's obviously a big thing. You know, winning any trophy is a massive deal, so. Yeah, so good memories all in all, yeah.
What do you make of their start? 2-3-2 wins so far this season?
Yeah, obviously it's they're quite renowned for being, you know, an attacking side and sort of a kind of throw caution to the wind kind of team. They will just attack with, you know, and just try and score as many goals as possible. I think, you know, they're quite open about doing that. So, you know, it's just going to be one of those games, you know, where, you know, they may do that again, they may not, but you know, they've started well. They've, you know, two wins out of two, it's always you're not going to be upset with two wins.
It might suit you then if they're a bit cavalier in their attitude. You know, obviously 5 goals in both games so far, and this might be the one where you win. Of course, massive win for Bradford there last year. They won 4-0, didn't they? So.
Yeah, obviously we're going to go there with the intent to win, and you know, however they play, that's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, obviously it does matter a little bit, but it's kind of irrelevant because it is really down to how we play, and that's our main focus, just to make sure that we pick up the 3 points on Saturday.
Who's, from your time at Peterborough, I mean, the manager, would he have been playing then?
Yeah.
So what was he like then?
You know, he liked to get on the ball, pass it. He's very, very good technical player, you know, and he very experienced as well, and, you know, knows the game very well, and he does like to get it down and play, and that probably does show in the way they play. But, yeah, he, you know, he's a good player, and obviously he's doing well as a manager so far as well.
So if you were to describe the mood here at the moment after 2 games in, how would it be?
You know, we're still upbeat. We are. It's only 2 games in. There's nothing to be worried about at all. You know, we've put in great performances, and it's just a matter of just converting our chances, really.
Bradford City defender Nathaniel Knight-Percival talking to Adam Pope a little bit earlier today. Other Bradford City news, manager Stuart McCall saying that Nathan Clark will be out for another couple of weeks with that calf strain that he picked up in training. Another player's also picked up an injury, but McCall wouldn't be drawn on who. He did tell us today Josh Cullen in line to start against Peterborough on Saturday, with Timothy Dieng set to return for the MK Dons match next Tuesday. Hear full commentary of Bradford City at Peterborough on 7:74 a.m. All the dedicated Bradford City build-up starts on West Yorkshire Sport from 2 o'clock. And stay tuned, City fans, because later in the programme we're going to meet Tracy Dickinson. She actually works at Bradford City but is also a European bronze and silver medalist at dragon boating. We'll find out what that's all about later. And Huddersfield Town fans, are you thinking, where's all our news today? Your press conference is tomorrow, so we'll be talking to head coach David Wagnett tomorrow afternoon, and we'll let you know exactly what's going on with the latest from Huddersfield Town tomorrow.
West Yorkshire Travel.
BBC Radio Leeds.
We'll be back live in Cardiff for the latest on the cricket in a minute. First, a travel update with Nick Arkell.
Still looking busy coming out of Leeds, Kirkstall Road, Headingley Lane as well. A few miles out for each of those, but a bit of slow traffic. Canal Street, Armley as well, coming away from the gyratory. That's quite busy. Away from the M621 as well. The M61 itself looking pretty good. Appley Lane in Yeadon is not looking good. It's queuing because of roadworks near the train station, so that's still a cause of delays. And in Leeds City Centre, really, East Parade, it's the eastbound side down to one lane just near the head road, so right near quite a lot of buildings that you might be trying to get to near the town hall. Of course, one lane closed, queuing on the approach. The motorways are fine though. If you'd like to update me, give me a call please, if it's safe to do so. 0330 123 0182. More in about 15 minutes.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Just after 6:30 then, let's get the latest news now with Charles Engwell.
Good evening. Leeds Civic Hall and Leeds First Direct Arena will turn gold tonight in honour of two Leeds divers who won gold at the Olympics. Jack Law and Chris Mears made history when they won Britain's first ever Olympic diving title. On Monday, Jack will be going for gold again when he takes part in the individual 3-metre springboard. A man's been jailed for 8 months for threatening to stab the pilot during a flight to Malaga in Spain. Martin Johnson, who's 56 and from Essex, drank a bottle of duty-free wine before boarding and opened another while on board. Last week, Leeds-based airline Jet2 announced it's banning alcohol on all its flights before 8 a.m. The child protection expert, Professor Alexis Jay, will lead the independent inquiry into historical child abuse in England and Wales. She replaces Dame Lowell Goddard, who became the third chairwoman to resign last week. A cyclist who died yesterday in the Lake District has been identified as 59-year-old Dr. Simon Newell from Leeds. It's believed that he fell off his bike on the Newlands Pass, but police are investigating a collision. And over 100 products made here in Yorkshire are going to be sold at the new John Lewis store in Leeds. 11 firms within 30 miles of Leeds have been chosen to take part in the trial once the store opens. The weather tonight then, similar conditions overnight as today, with a little bit thicker cloud and some clearer spells as well. The wind will pick up with minimum temperatures peaking at 15 degrees Celsius, that's 59 degrees Fahrenheit.
BBC Radio Leeds.
thank you, Charles. This is West Yorkshire Sport Daily for a Thursday evening. I'm Catherine Hannah here with you 3 till 7 o'clock. Then Mark Forrest will be along. We'll be catching up with Dave Callaghan, who's down at Cardiff, getting ready for the T20 quarterfinals match between Yorkshire and Glamorgan this evening. That's due to get underway at 7 o'clock this evening. Quick update on the cricket for England, though. Fourth test, day one. England against Pakistan at the Oval. England all out for 328. In reply, well, Stuart Broad's already got a wicket. Fantastic news. Pakistan 3 for 1, currently rapidly approaching stumps there. Final few moments of play if they've not finished already. As I say, we'll be heading off to Glamorgan, or heading off to Cardiff, in a few moments' time. We wanted to round up, though, the latest from the Rio Olympics, and where else to start but the pool, after City of Leeds divers Jack Law and Chris Mears brought home gold in the 3-metre synchro springboard. Absolutely amazing.
Are they? Or the judges have a sense of drama about them? Oh! It is gold for Great Britain! Oh, gold for Chris Mears! Gold for Jack Law! Great Britain have done it! They have won it! They are 3-metre synchro champions!
I've got a big hunk of metal hanging around my neck, and I was there to hear the British national anthem go off with my best mates. So,
that was just incredible. Yeah.
Probably the best day of my life.
Yeah, it's definitely the best day of my life.
Without a doubt.
You talked beforehand about how special it was when you did win together, and being on that podium together. So what was it like when you were up there together?
Fantastic. I mean, we've had a couple of gold medals now, Commonwealth Games, Europeans, and then the big one. You know, something that I've dreamed of ever since I was a kid, and for it to finally become a reality, it was just it's unbelievable. Absolutely,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
I think as well, like, we use the experience from the other competitions where we have done well, and we haven't done well, obviously use all the experience we get to be able to make that performance happen, and we were really, really cool, calm and collected today, even when there were things that kind of could have gone wrong, like there were some redives, and there was a lot of waiting about on the last round. A lot of distractions that could have possibly thrown us off, which didn't, which is the main reason why we've come out on top today.
Spoke to both your families when they came out. Have you managed to speak to your dad yet, who, of course, was too nervous? I mean, he did manage to watch, your mum said.
Yeah, I'm glad he watched, but I banned him from coming out, unfortunately. He gets too nervous, and he makes me nervous in turn. So I'm glad that he's watching at home. He's watching the dog, looking after the dog, which is nice. I'm sure they cracked a bottle of wine open.
I'm sure they did.
For a nice night in together.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I'm so glad that my family have come out. They sometimes can make me a little bit nervous, but, you know, my mum, you know, she loves diving, she loves the sport, she's a massive part of it. To see her crying when I was on the medal podium, literally almost, I was like this far away from crying, which was pretty embarrassing. I did on poolside, but I'm so glad that both our families could come out.
Absolutely phenomenal achievement. Many, many congratulations to City of Leeds divers Jack Law and Chris Mears. More competitive action from the City of Leeds divers as well. Jack Law's going to be back in individual competition. Rebecca Gallantry, she dives tomorrow night in the women's individual 3-metre springboard as well, so keep an eye out for her. Just to round up everything else from yesterday then, and then we'll give you an idea of what to keep an eye out for tonight. Rebecca Tyler from Keighley yesterday came a creditable 10th in the 69kg class in the weightlifting. It's her first ever Olympics. She's just 17. Huge, huge promise for the future for her. And this is what she had to say after coming 10th.
I think it went really well doing like the pressure and stuff of everything, but I just had such a good time, as you could see on my face when I was lifting the weight, so it was really good.
And how did you find competing in Olympics?
It's been the best experience I've ever experienced in my life. It's just such a good feeling to get on that platform. Everyone's screaming your name. It's just amazing, yeah.
Did you have any nerves at all?
I was really nervous, yeah. Like, it's nothing, like, compared to the competitions back home. There's only, like, 10 people watching you, but, like, here there's, like, thousands of people, so it's a little bit different, but it was really good.
I think you were just short of your PB in the snatch with a clean and jerk
you? Yeah.
So how did it feel out there to you?
It felt quite good. I mean, I've been training really hard for this, but I think it was just the pressure that got to me a little bit, but I think I did well, yeah.
I mean, really at the Commonwealth Games, you just missed out on the bronze medal. How much harder is the competition here?
I mean, that Commonwealth Games has given me more experience now to coming up to here, and this competition's way harder. But I think I've done my best, so.
Great stuff from Rebecca Tyler. Brilliant for her, just 17 years old. So much more to come from her, I'm sure. Also yesterday, Pudsey gymnast Niall Wilson finishing eighth in the individual all-around finals. He's still to compete in the individual high bar event. And Wilson delighted to have been in the arena on what was a historic night for Great Britain. Max Whitlock claiming a first medal in the discipline for 108 years.
That was absolutely incredible, you know, Max picking up a historic all-round medal. And me personally, I just had the greatest time of my life out there, you know, living the dream. My first Olympics, to qualify in that top six and be in the top group with those guys. It was a dream for me, and I really had so much fun. And I had a little wobble on high bar last piece, so I was 5/10 down, so I'm a bit gutted I didn't make the 90 score, which was my target. But, you know, I committed, I went all out, went for it, had fun, and can't be happier. I just want to thank everyone back home who supported, and all the teams you'd be, and I'm absolutely buzzing for Max. Deserves it.
And it's your first Olympics. It's Max's second, and he's won the all-around medal. I mean, you must be targeting Tokyo now.
Oh, yeah, I just said to him there, I said, I'm going to do what you're doing. He inspires me so much. This week has been incredible for me, very successful. You know, I've seemed to handle the pressure of the Olympics very well. I seem to thrive off it. I just love going out there. It's absolutely awesome.
I was watching him there. He was prowling back and forward. What was it like standing next to him? Because I was nervous watching him.
Yeah, he gets a bit worked up, Max. He gets a bit stressed. And I was like, just calm down. You got it. You did your job. And the scores coming in, it was so close. You know, the top eight, I think between 89.5 and 90.6 with Max. And yeah, I'm so happy for him, honestly. He works so hard, he inspires me so much, and he's an incredible gymnast.
You guys have already done so much for British gymnastics and the profile, but this is another step, isn't it?
Oh yeah, incredible step. You know, there's a lot of pressure on us now. You know, we've started to prove that we're one of the best nations in the world, and we certainly proved that in the team final the other night. As a whole, we all get behind each other, the team. You know, it's so amazing to be a part of, and I'm so privileged to have got to this level. And all I can say is I'm enjoying it, and that's the main thing.
You're not done yet, though. You've got a good chance of a medal, hopefully in high bar.
Yeah, I had a little wobble there tonight, so hopefully that's all out of the way. And next Tuesday, I'll be coming out and giving it my all and showing him what GB made of on the old high bar. I can't wait.
Pudsey's Niall Wilson clearly enjoying every moment of his Olympic experience. He's been on Twitter today saying he's had a day off training, watching golf with the family today and enjoying life out in Rio. So great news for him. So that was the roundup from everybody West Yorkshire-wise yesterday. Today, what's been going on? Well, Catherine Granger secured her fifth Olympic medal on the rowing lake in the last hour. She claimed a silver medal in the women's double sculls alongside Vicky Thornley at the Rio Games. Closing stages of the commentary from John Murray.
Lithuania now putting pressure on, but it is going to be another Olympic medal for Catherine Granger. Vicky Thornley, as they come to the line, Poland win the gold medal, but it's silver for Great Britain, for Catherine Granger and Victoria Thornley, against all the odds. No one was expecting this.
Brilliant stuff for Catherine Granger. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Rugby 7 semi-final, see Team Great Britain against South Africa at 7 o'clock. The golf's underway. First golf event at the Olympics since 1904, so that's up and running. Andy Murray going well in the tennis. That's on at the moment. And then later on this evening, watch out for both of these. Huddersfield's Marcus Ellis is going to compete in the men's doubles badminton with partner Chris Langridge against the Danish pair. It's the group stages so far. And then husband and wife pair Gabby Adcock from Leeds and her husband Chris go in the mixed doubles group stages. That's around about 8:40 tonight. They take on the Chinese pair. Gabby determined that they get onto the podium.
We want a medal, that's what we hope to go out there and do, and hopefully we can do that for our sport as well, so fingers crossed.
Lots of pressure though, because you know you are the obvious candidate, I suppose, going into Rio.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of pressure, but no more pressure than what we put on ourselves on a day-to-day basis and all the other major events. As Gabby said, it's great to have a bigger team around us. But yeah, we really want to achieve. We're in that top lot in our event, mixed doubles. It's been very wide open. We've won one of the big majors this year. But we know that if we play well, we've got a great chance. But we also know there's at least 5, 6, 7 other pairs that are in the same position, which is really exciting. We will always back ourselves and believe that we can. So hopefully we play well on the day and we can be standing on the podium at the end.
Good luck to Gabby Adcock and husband Chris Adcock, about 20-9 to keep an eye on them tonight. And also in the cycling, Huddersfield Olympic cyclist Ed Clancy competing in the men's team pursuit. That's about 9:30 tonight. They could be in for a world record along with Clancy. He rides with Sir Bradley Wiggins, Peter Kenner, Garrett Jones, and again, he's got gold in his sights.
We'd be devastated if we came away and we didn't get a medal. You know, for sure, we're looking at a medal in the team pursuit. I think right now, I think it's fair to say the Australians are probably favourite for that gold medal, but for us, I think that's a good thing, you know. It puts pressure on them. We've got nothing to lose in terms of being defending champions and defending our Olympic gold. I think the key is for us just to concentrate on training, eating properly, sleeping properly, doing everything we can to sort of zone in on the team pursuit right now, and whatever result we get, we'll be happy with.
You did get that gold in London. Just describe that gold, what it meant to you. And also, when you're in Yorkshire and, you're around your hometown, you see the gold post boxes. What does that mean to you?
I mean, to start with, just the whole London experience was incredible. Not just the racing, but the aftermath, the Olympic parade. It was just, you know, a bizarre month or two of your life, one that will never be the same. And that's something you've got to get your head around. You know, no matter what happens in Rio, London was massive, and it's going to be difficult to replicate that. In terms of like the Yorkshire thing, I'm proud, obviously proud to be a Yorkshireman, like we all are. But like, for me, the biggest thing was just representing my teammates and Great Britain cycling teams in a good light, and I think that's what we're really looking forward to do again.
That's Ed Clancy then talking to the BBC in the men's team pursuit at around 9:30 tonight. I had a text from Andy who just says, Olympics, please wake me up when it's all over. I know you're not alone in that opinion, Andy. I know it leaves just some people absolutely cold, but I just find it riveting when you kind of get into it. And you sat watching the diving last night, and you know it's not a sport that I have a huge amount of expertise in by any stretch of the imagination, but when you see what it means to people and you're kind of there rooting for them and they're waiting for the scores to come in and the kind of the nerves and the adrenaline, and you just get caught up in it. Or I do, maybe it's just me. I know a lot of people really loving all the Olympics coverage. Equally, Andy, I say, I know you're not alone in that view. All text welcome to this programme, 81333, if you'd like to send a message. Start it with the letters WYS, or you can tweet us too at WYS Daily. Hello to Robert, who's done that as well. We were talking earlier about Jordan Bataka leaving Leeds United on a season-long loan. He's joined Charlton today. Robert saying that lad should have been given more than just 3 starts to prove himself. He's not had an awful lot of football at Leeds United, that is for sure. And Leeds fan on Twitter as well at WYS Daily. We all hoped he would be better, but 3 head coaches from different backgrounds don't seem to have rated him. Andy Firth too, saying never seen enough of him to pass judgment if he's good enough or not. If you'd like to tweet us about anything we're talking about, it's at WYS Daily. We're going to be heading down to Cardiff next then, an update ahead of starting play at 7 o'clock. Can Yorkshire make the semi-finals of the T20 Blast competition? They're taking on Glamorgan. We'll be catching up with Dave Callaghan with all the latest team news in just a moment.
West Yorkshire Travel.
BBC Radio Leeds.
First, though, let's get a travel update with Nick Arkell.
It's still queuing through Yeadon, Apley Lane. It's still bad because of the roadworks. Jim called earlier on to let us know it was roadworks causing a delay. It's just near the train station, very busy, and thanks, Jim, for the call earlier. Leeds City Centre eastbound, East Parade. One lane is closed by an accident at the Head Road junction still, so that's slowing things down. Not so bad on surrounding routes now, but it is still a bit slow past that lane closure. The motorway network's looking right. The M62, the M1 on the move. If you can update me further, though, give me a call, please. 0330 123 0182.
Share your travel news.
Call 0330 123 0182.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Also, stand by Wakefield Trinity fans hot off the press. James Dayton, our rugby league producer, has just been grabbing a word with Keegan Hurst, who has joined the club for the 2017 season. So we'll hear that in just a moment. Let's catch up with the cricket then and head down to Cardiff. Yorkshire about to start their T20 quarterfinal match against Glamorgan. Full commentary on the way from 7 o'clock online at bbc.co.uk/Radio Leeds. Dave Callaghan will be doing the honours, as he does with every single Yorkshire match right throughout the season. Team news then, Callie, and have Yorkshire won the toss tonight?
They've done it again, Catherine. He's very, very lucky, Alex Lees. In fact, I'll ask him for 6 numbers for Saturday, and if and when I'll cut you in on it, because he is very lucky in that area, and he has decided on this occasion to bat. Whether that is the right thing or not, we'll have to wait and see. He has included Matthew Waite in the side, as I predicted the last time I was talking to you, the young all-rounder, so a big night for him. He's had 2 appearances in T20 before. score. It's live, Lees, Rashid, Leaning, Rhodes, Bresnan, Plunkett, Hard, Willie, Rafiq and Matthew Waiters, I say. But, of course, it won't be in that order. David Willey will open with Adam Live. And Glamorgan have Jacques Rudolph, who was such an inspiration when he played at Yorkshire. A tremendous player, of course. He was a Colpack signing initially for Yorkshire and had two spells at the club, the first being highly successful. Sean Tate is, of course, a man of great pace, can be a little bit erratic. Colin Ingram is a danger with the batting as well. Decent crowd building up here. They reckon they might get up to 12,000 in. They'd sold 10,000. To the right of us, actually, is a massive stand that looks like a football stand that you would see football supporters in. And, of course, last time I was here, ironically, Catherine, it was finals day. And this was the place that was chosen, and Yorkshire lost in the final to Hampshire. Now they're bidding, as you rightly say, to get to the semi-finals, which is very much part of finals day, a week on Saturday in Birmingham.
Thank you very much to Dave Callaghan. Let's hope it's a happier outcome for him there tonight. A reminder, 7 o'clock online, bbc.co.uk/Radio Leeds. Follow the links and you'll find Dave Callaghan with all the commentary from Yorkshire's T20 quarterfinal match tonight. It works on your smartphone, your tablet as well. No restrictions on the cricket. So if you're on the move, you'll be able to listen to it wherever you happen to be. So hot off the press, before we find out more about dragon boating and a Bradford City employee who's competed in Europe to great success in this particular sport. We'll be finding out more about that before 7 o'clock. But Keegan Hurst has joined Wakefield Trinity for the 2017 season. We heard at the top of the show what head coach Chris Chester makes of that addition. The 28-year-old signed a one-year deal with the option of a further year. So let's hear a little bit of why he decided to sign up. He's been talking to our rugby league producer, James Dayton.
It's a good feeling. It's, you know, it's something that, I've been working towards for a while, and it's just nice to get over the line and to get given an opportunity.
For how long have you had an ambition to play in Super League?
I suppose I wanted to do it for a while, but I suppose over the last few years, I kind of thought chance had passed me by, really, and I'd kind of given up thinking that it might ever happen. But as things have turned out, and it's come good, so I'm going to get a go probably a bit later than I'd have hoped for or people usually do. But it's been done before, and hopefully I'll be able to do it as well.
Were Wakefield the only club to come knocking?
I spoke to a couple of clubs, but obviously that relationship that I've got with John is, counts for a lot, I think. We've worked together over the last few years, and Chris Chester's a young, exciting coach who's done real well with Wakefield. So, and you know, I'm coming from Batley, it's a local team, so it's that always helps. So Wakefield ticked all the boxes, and I were happy to sign.
Do you think Super League will suit you, will suit your game?
I don't know. Proof will be in pudding, won't it?
We're going to find out. But have you watched Super League over the years and thought, I can do that? I'm good enough for that.
I think it's just a lot faster, obviously. You know, the lads played against OKR this weekend, and you know, you see that you don't get that opportunity to have a playoff, really, or you get punished because there's a good calibre of player there. But I think once you're in and around that environment, then that helps. And when you're playing with players who are used to playing at that level, then it helps anybody's game. So I'm confident in my ability that you can have a good go at it, yeah.
When you consider what you've achieved at Batley over the years and certainly this year, how hard will it be to leave them at the end of these Super 8s?
Yeah, it'll be tough. I've had some of the best years of my career at Batley, and I don't just mean playing wise. I mean, you know, enjoying myself with lads, with club, and I'm really grateful for Batley to opportunity that they've given me. And like you said, we've done quite a bit. You know, we got to that grand final a couple of years ago. We're in the Super 8s now, and it's I think as good as it'll be to leave Batley, I know that they're in a good place. And I can put my hand up and say I helped a little bit with that. So, and we certainly leave on good terms. So, yeah, I'll be gutted, but obviously excited by what's ahead.
And how do you think you'll feel ahead of your Super League debut, whenever that might be?
I don't know. I'm a bit nervous. I'm already nervous about pre-season. So, yeah, it'll be I mean, obviously it'll be a bit nerve-wracking, but it's just another game of rugby at the end of the day, so and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, the full-time side of it is going to take a bit of getting used to, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I won't have to race home from work and get to training. I won't know what to do with myself on an evening, I don't think.
Yeah. You won't know what to do when you finish at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know. I'll have to pick up an hobby. But yeah, obviously it'll take a little bit of getting used to, but it'll be nice to have a bit of time on my hands rather than, you know, rushing from one place to another to get to training and what have you, and get gym sessions in and things like that. It'll be a lifestyle change, but certainly something I'm looking forward to, and I'd like to think it'd be a bit easier than shifting plasterboards up and downstairs for a living.
I'm sure it will be. Just finally, we have seen players make that leap and do really well, someone like Danny Kerman, the captain at Wakefield in particular. Will it be nice also to show that players from the Championship can make it in Super League?
I mean, we're jumping gun yet. We don't know if I will, but yeah, it's it. I mean, of course they have, yeah. I mean, you look at Wakefield, there's Liam Finn there, there's Anthony England, there's Jason Walton, and Danny Kerman, like you said, who've all come out of Championship and who are all, you know, good Super League players. So I think Championship is a good competition, that there is players there who could make the step up, and the proof is there in Super League. So and certainly players who've done it a little bit later, like I know, you know, Finney did it a bit later on. So hopefully I can emulate him and do all right as well.
Congratulations to Keegan Hurst signing a one-year contract with the option for another year, joining Wakefield Trinity today. Great to hear from him on the show this evening. Thank you for your messages as well. Thanks to everyone who takes the trouble to get in touch. Hello to Paul. Thank you for your text. He says, "Hi, Catherine. I'm loving the Olympics. Been watching it most evenings. Amazing events. Jumping in the water, dancing on mats, pedalo racing." You'd be good at that. Ooh, I don't know about that. "Can't wait for the athletics. I'm passing the stick. And my favourite, hop, skip and jump," says Paul. Thank you very much for that. Dragon boating is what we're going to talk about next. As yet not an Olympic sport, but you never know, in the future could well be. And this is a Bradford City employee making waves on the international stage in dragon boating. This is Tracy Dickinson, who works in the control room on a match day at Valley Parade and picked up a bronze and 2 silver medals at the European Championships in Rome last month. She competes for Great Britain, and Tracy's been talking to Katie Wyatt about what dragon boating actually is.
Dragon boating is a sport that originated in China, and it's a long boat about 12 metres long, and each seat has 2 paddlers, one either side, 20 in total, with a helm on the back that steers the boat and a drummer on the front that sets the rhythm.
How did you become involved in that?
We didn't have a club. It's not very well known in the north of any area from like Stockton down to Manchester. There was just no club whatsoever. Obviously, I've got kind of hooked on this, so kind of had a chat with a couple of the other clubs and managed to find somebody who helped me build a team. So we have our own club now based in Denham called the Bradford Barracudas, which are recruiting for paddlers now. We train up there on a Saturday morning at 9:30 till 12 o'clock. Up until that point, I had to kind of travel around the country to find somewhere to paddle because I kind of got hooked on it. And then I was asked to trial by one of the GB crew, who said, "We'd like you to trial for Rome for 2016. This was last year, and the rest is history.
Because you've just come back, because you've been in Italy for a week there, picked up 2 silver medals and a bronze. How was that experience for you?
Surreal. So basically, can't really get used to going back to work now, but I want to be on the water all the time. So we were paddling for 4 or 5 days out of the week, and they were kind of like 9-hour days, so getting up early in the morning, obviously out on the water, doing heats in 40 degrees. Really, really hard work, but such an achievement to be able to get on the podium 3 times and to pick up those medals.
And the World Championships coming up in China as well.
Yeah, so trialing for that. I'm training now. The competition just to get in the squad is going to be massive. So I think the last count, there was probably about 90 people trying to get in a squad. There's 22 people in a squad plus a couple of reserves. So it's going to be very, very difficult to to get, you know, you're going to have to be one of the best athletes to get through trials, to actually hit the squad before the GB training starts. And then, it's the biggest achievement to head off to Shanghai, which is where the sport originates. So it's going to be a really, really interesting 12 months, I think.
But you're a busy person, because obviously you've got your full-time job, you've got your family to look after, then you work with Bradford City on a match day at a weekend. How do you manage to balance all that with your training and your competing?
I think it's just pure will and commitment, wanting to do so well in the sport. It helps having a supportive family. 2 weeks' time, we'll be heading on our family holiday, which is much needed, as you can imagine. But above all, it's just fitting in the time, being in the gym every single lunchtime. Luckily, I've got a gym in work, so if I do happen to be that busy, I can't get in the gym on a weekend, Saturdays when I'm not working, and Sundays, getting as much water time in as I can. But you've got to be very committed, and even down to your nutrition, and still trying to fit in your family time. So it's not easy, but the overall experience and, you know, what you get at the end of it is immense.
How important is it for you to have that time for yourself where you can just focus on your dragon boat and away from everything else?
That time is me. I just absolutely love being on the water. And as much as we all have to go out to work, if I could just sit in a boat all day and just train and train and train, one day I'm hoping it's going to be an Olympic sport. But until then, I'll just dream on the golden china and just put 100% in every single day till I get there.
Keep on dreaming. Brilliant stuff from Tracy Dickinson. Absolutely fantastic. If you want to find out more about the Barracudas, they're online. They've got a website, bradfordbarracudas.co.uk, or on Twitter, BarracudasDBC, Dragon Boat Club. That's as far as I go tonight. A reminder, you can listen to the show again online. Key interviews in the InShort Sports section, and that's bbc.co.uk/radioleads. That's also where you will find the links to the commentary. Yorkshire's T20 quarterfinal against Glamorgan coming up now. So get yourself online and follow the links. Good luck to